Chapter 13, Danger and Heroes. The train came in while Uncle Louie was chatting to the boys on the beach. Those who were still near the store ran to unload the goods. A new shipment of insects was in the first cart, and all the girls squealed with delight when they saw the colorful butterflies flutter out. Amy and Georgia tried to catch them, but the butterflies stayed just out of their reach. Vahid and Kenzie began to unload the other train cars, and then they discovered wheels, lots of wheels. Leaving the side doors open, they pulled them out to have some fun. They were thrilled to discover how fast the wheels could roll, shoving them back and forth to each other. Then Kenzie suggested a small incline. By the time Uncle Louie had finished his chat with the boys, a full-blown competition was taking place. Walking back to the store, Uncle Louie could see seven children at the top of Mining Hill holding something in their hands. Eight others were merrily chasing after round discs that were speeding quickly down the hill and bouncing in all directions. "It's all wonderful experimentation," Uncle Louie smiled, just like the professor was hoping to see. Then he saw a wheel fly up into the air almost as high as Lily was tall. "Oh dear," he thought, "someone could get hurt if those wheels hit them." As quickly as he could, Uncle Louie put an end to the wheel chase, encouraging everyone to come and make carts. Fascinated by the wheels, even Odin, Ponsy, and the Beach Boys were eager to begin. All the wheels had a little rod inserted through the middle, which stuck out on each side. Uncle Louie showed them how to use a sharp tool to bore a hole through the building boards and then attach them to the rods. The other ends of the boards became handles. Using the glue gun, he created a frame and attached it to the handles. Then he laid one of the small wooden beds inside and dabbed more hot glue on it to make it strong. Damien followed the instructions to a point, but he didn't want to use a wooden bed. Instead, he laid down a layer of wooden boards across the frame, creating a much wider cart than any of the others. Testing it out, he proved his wider cart helped to keep the beams from tipping side to side. "This is no effort at all," Damien exclaimed, pushing his new contraption up the hill with two beams laid across it. "I really like your idea," Uncle Louie praised, watching him carry the beams with ease. "I think I'll redesign my cart. Yours is better." Once Uncle Louie began making changes, most of the boys did the same. The girls were content to keep the smaller carts. When they had finished, Uncle Louie excused Nancy and Milan to make lunch at the store. Georgia, Tina, and Vahid were asked to work on musical instruments, since instructions had arrived that morning along with the wheels. All the other children agreed to push the building materials up the hill. It was still hard work, but not nearly as taxing, although Zahir and Vahid weren't as energetic as they had been the day before. Rosa and Lily, however, were exhausted after only pushing their cart halfway up the hill, and they let everyone know. "I need to use the outhouse," Rosa whined at the top of the hill. "Me too," Lily complained. "That's fine, girls," Uncle Louie said, rather tired of all their complaining, as he emptied his widened cart for the second time. Pulling out two beams, he suggested, "Use the outhouse, and then maybe you can help Nancy and Milan get the food ready." Rosa and Lily were delighted to escape the difficult work. Once the outhouse trip was completed, they decided to stall even longer. "We could go to the store the long way around," Lily giggled. With a frown, Rosa questioned uncertainly, "You mean walk all the way around Cascading Mountain?" "We'll just take it slowly," Lily assured her. "Maybe we can find some pretty flowers to pick." "But we already worked for our lunch, right?" Rosa asked, confused. "Oh, yes," Lily smiled mischievously. "We're just going to do a little extra and bring flowers as well." "Oh, I get it," Rosa laughed. "Let's go." The girls set off happily, quite hidden from view in the forested area between the two hills. They found purple clover in a grassy clearing. "Rabbits like this," Lily told Rosa, "and so do the bees." They startled the two deer that spent most of their time in the forest and almost caught a little rabbit, but it popped down a hole just in time. "Oh, look at this trail," Lily said, stopping in her tracks. "I wonder where it leads." Rosa was eager to investigate, so the two of them followed it. "It stops at this rock," Rosa said, puzzled. "That's strange," Lily remarked. "Why would anyone come to this rock and stop here?" They poked around in the bushes, but found nothing. Lily suggested they walk down beside the rock and try to imagine why anyone would walk along the path. After some sitting and thinking, neither one of them could figure it out. Rose's stomach growled. "It must be nearly lunchtime," she said. "We should get to the store." Lily agreed. "Let's go," she said, rising up from the rock. By the time the two girls came around Cascading Mountain and began heading toward the store, Nancy was ringing the bell for lunch. Carrying some of the purple clover, Lily tasted one of the tiny strands from the flower blossom and discovered it was sweet. "Oh, you should try this," she exclaimed, handing a piece to Rosa. Rosa reached out to receive the tiny strand when suddenly they both walked into a soft, sticky, almost invisible net between two trees. Had they been watching where they were going, they may have seen the silvery threads sparkling in the sunlight, but they had been too distracted by the edible flower. "What is this?" Rosa called out, pulling at the threads that were tangled in her pretty blonde curls. "Oh, it's all over me. It's sticking to my hair. It's on my face. Get it off." "It's on me too," Lily wailed. "Yuck, yuck, get it off." As the girls struggled to take off the sticky substance, Rosa looked up and screamed at the top of her voice. Lily looked up and began hollering as well. Above them and dropping down fast was a large, scary black creature they had never seen before. It was over half their size and had 8 long, wriggling legs and a round body with a peculiar red shape underneath. Even its eyes were terribly strange. It didn't just have 2 beady eyes, it had many. In no time at all, the thin black legs were wrapping them up with its never-ending sticky threads, threads that they couldn't break or push away. Every time the creature came around in front of them, the terrifying mouth with fangs seemed to come closer and closer. The girls screamed and hollered. "Who is screaming?" a voice hollered back. "What is wrong with you girls?" another voice demanded. The girls had never been so relieved to hear Odin and Ponzi. "Help us," they pleaded. "Look, they're all tangled up," Ponzi exclaimed to Odin, pointing in the girls' direction. Odin was looking above the girls' heads. "What is that black thing?" he yelled. For a moment, the boys stood aghast, hardly believing what they were seeing. Uncle Louie had never told them about strange black animals with 8 wriggly legs. "Please help us," Lily called out desperately. "Save us," Rosa begged. Odin and Ponzi swung into action. "I'll find some sticks," Ponzi yelled, dashing around the trees, hoping some broken branches might be on the ground. Undeterred by his lack of weapons, stocky Odin advanced with his arms ready for action and his pale blue eyes fixed firmly on the fascinating black creature. "It's tying you up," he marveled. Rosa wailed, "Yes, please help!" Flailing his arms wildly and yelling at the top of his voice, Odin tried to scare the strange animal, and it reacted with fear. Nimbly wriggling up along one of its threads, the creature moved out of Odin's reach. It was too high to tie any more threads around the girls or frighten them with its protruding fangs. Continuing his antics, Odin's long blonde hair whipped wildly around him. He managed to keep the strange animal away from the girls until Ponzi returned with 2 building boards he had found lying nearby. Then the boys courageously took on the beast. Jumping, poking, and yelling fiercely at the creature, they tried to knock it down from its perch. Unable to move their arms, but craning their necks to see, the horrified girls watched the fight, fearful of what would happen to the boys should the aggressive creature fall to the ground and turn on them. At last, the boys succeeded in knocking it down. On the defensive now, the creature rose terrifyingly to its full height, which was well past their waists, and began to charge at them. Odin struck it with a mighty blow. Ponzi whacked it a second time and it collapsed. Then Odin jumped on the back of the strange animal and there was a crackly crunch. It was not pleasant to see all the liquid oozing out of the body, but the wiggly legs finally stopped moving. The girls cheered. The boys were dumbfounded for a moment, still positioned and ready for another attack. But the black beast didn't move. At last, the boys decided they had won the battle. "We'll get you out of there," Ponzi promised the girls, but it was harder than he thought. Bravely, he pulled at the threads with his board, but they wouldn't break. "We're going to need something to cut with," Odin determined. "Hey, girls," he said brusquely, "we're going to run back and get carts and something sharp. If we can't cut you out of those wraps, we'll wheel you to the store and see what Uncle Louie can do." Okay, Rosa said gratefully, her big eyes shining with adoration. Thank you for saving us. Yes, Lily agreed in much the same fashion. You guys will be our heroes forever. Odin and Pontsy looked at each other in surprise. They had no idea how to respond to praise. Without another word, they ran off toward the store. It took a while for the boys to return. Uncle Louie came with them, carrying one of the small kitchen knives in his hand. As he sawed away at the sticky threads surrounding the girls, Odin and Pontsy examined the unmoving creature more carefully, poking it with their boards to see if it would react. But nothing happened. Having never caught a fish or seen Zahir prepare the fillets, they and most of the tinies were unfamiliar with death. "What's wrong with it?" Pontsy murmured to himself, confusion all over his dark bronze face. "Why doesn't it move anymore?"
"That was terrible, Uncle Louie," Rosa lamented, trembling all over as he pulled off the sticky threads from her round arms. "What was that creature? Why didn't you ever tell us about him?"
"It was a spider," Uncle Louie told her. "I don't know how it got into paradise. Maybe it climbed onto the train by mistake."
"But why didn't you tell us about him?" Lily begged anxiously, pulling threads from her straight brown hair.
"There are many things I haven't told you about," Uncle Louie replied. "Why would I tell you about something so scary when I didn't think you'd ever see one?" Curiously, Odin looked up. His pale blue eyes were filled with intrigue.
"Are there more creatures that we don't know about?" he asked. "Is there another world somewhere?"
"Yes," Uncle Louie admitted uncomfortably, "there are and there is. But paradise is the world which the professor has built for us. It's the only world in which we can survive."
"Can you tell us about the other world?" Pontsy begged.
"Perhaps at some point," Uncle Louie conceded, "once you've learned all there is to know about paradise." The boys grumbled and complained, but Uncle Louie would not divulge any further information. After freeing the girls from the web, Uncle Louie came over to examine the stiff black creature with Odin and Pontsy. Pushed it gently a couple of times and poked at the liquid pooling around it. Standing up straight, he spoke heavily. "It's dead. It's not breathing." He sighed deeply. "It's no longer alive."
"Dead?" Odin asked curiously. "What does that mean?"
Uncle Louie looked at him in a serious way. "Once something is dead," he said slowly, "it will never live again. That's the end of its opportunity to be alive. You killed it."
"Oh, good," Odin smiled, looking very pleased with himself. "Well, if we ever see another one of these," he stated boldly, "we'll certainly know what to do with it."
"You are both so brave," Lily praised, with a sweet smile on her little freckled face.
The boys looked at each other uncomfortably. Odin turned and began running to the store. But Pontsy nodded in Lily's direction. "Thank you," he said, his dark eyes meeting hers for one brief second, and then he too ran off. With the girls clinging tightly to his arms, Uncle Louie walked with them to get lunch. There he told everyone what had happened and praised Odin and Pontsy for their courageous actions. When lunch was over and the girls had run off with their friends, Uncle Louie slipped away to the cave office. The first thing he did was Google black spiders. When he found an image of a spider with a red blotch on its abdomen, he was shocked to read the details. Breathing deeply, Uncle Louie wrote a hurried text message to the professor explaining the incident, the results of his search, and a suggestion that the dangerous beast might have entered paradise on the train. He praised Odin and Pontsy, who had saved the girls from the poisonous Black Widow spider, and suggested there be some special recognition for the heroes. Feeling rather shaken, he left the cave only to encounter another dilemma. Kenzie met him as he walked past the outhouses, and he was visibly upset.
"Zahir and Vahid can't leave the outhouse," he relayed anxiously. "They are, well, it's just really gross."
Running into the outhouse, Uncle Louie encountered two listless, vomiting boys. It took a while before they had emptied their stomachs and could be helped into bed. It was finally determined that they hadn't washed their hands with soap after filleting the fish that morning, but had simply rinsed them under the water. Professor Lemans was extremely distraught when he and Louie made contact later that evening for the daily debriefing. He knew how dangerous a Black Widow was to the Tinies, and he was very alarmed that a creature from his world had found its way into the dome.
Sat Alors! This must have been absolutely frightening for those poor girls, he commiserated.
It was terribly frightening, Louis agreed. But, on the bright side, Odin and Ponzi became heroes today. Their aggressive natures were exactly what was needed. Juxlamons pondered Louis's remarks.
Interesting, he mused. They did save the day, and not everyone would react with such courage.
They do need to be praised for their actions. However, we don't want this to ever happen again. I'll investigate how that spider may have found its way in on the train, he promised. This is very, very distressing. And then to have Zahir and Vahid so sick after handling raw fish, all in the same day. I had hoped bacterial infections would not incur in your world. I thought we had been extra cautious to avoid this happening. You must encourage everyone to always wash their hands with soap before a meal, he told Louis.
But don't make a rule? Louis clarified.
No rules. Just strongly encourage them all, the professor insisted. Whether there was a rule or no rule, there were now two tinies who would never forget to wash their hands before a meal. Suffering such a terrible reaction had firmly impressed upon them that there were very important reasons for some of the things that Uncle Louis encouraged them to do.